2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 to 10. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due to him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad.
Well, it's great to have the opportunity to share with you all this morning here at Southcote Family. And many of you will remember me, but for those who might not know me, I'm the community pastor at Norcott Mission Church, and I've been there now 10 years, just over 10 years. So it's good to be with you all here again this morning. And I don't come just here on my own, I just come with all our greetings from all my brothers and sisters at Norcott Mission Church. They send your greetings to you all here. But I just want to thank you again for your very warm welcome and for inviting me back here to share with you this morning. Last time I was here, you'll remember that I focused on 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 to 18, around the theme of a hope that endures. A hope that helps us to endure, particularly looking at how we have a wonderful ministry, a valuable treasure, and a confident faith. Those were the areas that we focused on during my last visit. And this morning, I would like us to keep with our theme of hope and focus on 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1 to 10, around the theme of hope that empowers our walk. Particularly looking at Paul's hope, Paul's groan, Paul's confidence, Paul's faith, Paul's walk, drawing out encouragements for our own journey, both individually and corporately as a church. My hope this morning is that you are encouraged from these words as we explore these words together this morning. And as I begin, I'm sure we would all agree that we are living in uncertain times, living life beyond the COVID pandemic. The cost of living, conflicts around the world. But one thing we can be sure of is the hope of eternal life in heaven. For those of us who know the Lord Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. And it's this eternal hope that can empower our walk, whatever uncertainties may surround us at present. And that's where our focus will be this morning, about that eternal hope that can empower our walk in uncertain times. From 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1, we are reminded that we have a future hope, a hope of eternal life in heaven. Life in this world is not the believer's final reality. But how do we know? We know because we trust the Word of God, the Bible. If we want to know the truth about life, death, Jesus, the way to God, the hope of eternal life, we have to rely on the Word of God. We need to know for ourselves what the Bible says, just as we need to look some words up in a dictionary to be sure of their answers. As believers in the Lord Jesus, we do not need to consult a fortune teller, a Ouija board, a spiritualist, a deck of cards to find out what the future holds or what lies on the other side of death. God has told us all that we need to know in the pages of the Bible, the Word of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1, Paul's "we know" connects with his knowing in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 14, where Paul says, "We know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. We know that Jesus is alive. Therefore, we know that death cannot claim us." In John 14 and verse 19, Jesus says, "Because I live, you also will live." But how do we understand Paul's groan? From 2 Corinthians 5, verses 2 to 5. In these words, Paul was not expressing a morbid desire for death. In fact, his statement is just the opposite. He was eager for Jesus Christ to return so that he would be clothed upon with the glorified body. It is important to note that Paul was not groaning because he was in a human body, but because he longed to see Jesus Christ and receive a glorified body. This explains why death should not hold no fear for the Christian. But how can we be so sure that we shall one day have new bodies, like the glorified body of our Saviour? We can be sure because the Spirit lives within us. Paul knows that his future is secure, which flows from the Spirit that has been given as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. And we read that in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 5. For the Christian, it is the experience of the transforming and uplifting of the Holy Spirit now in their lives that shows that God's promises are real. Therefore, we can truly walk and live faithfully in the hope of the resurrection, trusting in the purposes of Christ, particularly in times of uncertainty. What was Paul's confidence? In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 6, Paul affirms that we are always confident, which is related to the hope of the resurrection. The apostle has confidence at all times, even in the face of the greatest adversity. Paul can abandon himself entirely to his mission, because he knows that God will not abandon him in death. For he knows that the Lord has determined a glorious destiny for him. Paul's confidence flows from the hope of the resurrection rather than a confidence that is mustered within. because he had this kind of confidence. Paul was not afraid of suffering and trials or even dangers. This is not to suggest the Lord was tempted by the Lord by taking unnecessary risks, but it does mean that he was willing to lose his life for the sake of Christ and the ministry of the gospel. He walked by faith and not by sight. He looked at the eternal unseen, not the temporary seen. Heaven was not simply a destination for Paul, it was a motivation. Like the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11, he looked for the heavenly city and governed his life by eternal values. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, Paul affirms that we live by faith and not by sight. This means that we can live faithfully in the midst of difficult and uncertain circumstances, trusting in the purposes of Christ rather than denying one's present reality. And I know that this is what Andy Godfrey was focusing on at the beginning of this month, about the importance of being faithful. The importance of being faithful in our day-to-day lives. Like the psalmist, Paul hopes and trusts in God's good purposes for him, despite the accusations of external circumstances. Just as the sufferings of Christ abound to him, so his comfort abounds through Christ. While we should look to God for deliverance from difficult circumstances, ultimately our hope should rest in the hope of eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. It is this reason that we should make it our goal to please the Lord and not to allow times of uncertainty and difficulty to discourage us and prevent us from living for the Lord and doing what is pleasing to him, both individually and corporately as a church. During my last visit, one of the areas that we focused on was the fact that you have a wonderful ministry. That was one of our main focuses during my last visit. Whether it be through your ministry at Open Church each month on Tuesdays, coffee and chat on Wednesdays, your partnership with CCA, as well as Southcote Pantry, Good News for Everyone, OM in Yeldall Manor, your support of Sharon Nordley of Wycliffe Bible Translators, along with your connections at Manor School and joint work with Southcote Alive, you have a wonderful ministry, and each one of you is called to be faithful in what God has called you to do, both individually, but also as a church. And holding on to that certainty of that heavenly dwelling will enable us to keep walking and living faithfully in the light of the eternal home, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We read that in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. This does not mean that we are trying to gain God's approval by good works. Instead, our desire to please the Lord should flow freely from our faith in Christ, expressed through love and obedience. While Paul does not specifically state how we should please the Lord, we can conclude that our love for Christ is expressed through faithful living, knowing that one day the Christian will be with the Lord for all eternity. But coming back to that whole area of faithfulness, of being faithful, but with that view of eternity of our eternal home. So while yearning for that future, we must still live righteously. For the Christian, it's living in the light of the resurrection. But is this possible in the present? Can we do this in the present? It is impossible to see the fullness of the resurrection glory still to come. But Paul trusts in God's promises as the ultimate reality and lives accordingly. He does not live as his present sufferings were the sum of life. Furthermore, Paul finds great comfort in this life, despite his sufferings, because of the Spirit. Therefore, we can truly live in the hope of the resurrection, whatever the circumstances. Paul's hope does not make him quiet and content with the world, but it makes him restless and fills him with a longing for the world that is to come. The certainty of salvation does not morally lame him, it empowers his walk. It empowers his walk. I think that's a wonderful statement. Let me just read it again for us. The certainty of salvation does not morally lame him. It empowers his walk. For each of us, we are living in uncertain times. And often when we're living in these times, we might feel that it's really hard to keep walking, to keep being faithful, to keep trusting. My encouragement to each of you this morning, that as we continue to live in uncertain times, challenging times, my encouragement to you is to allow that hope of eternal life, that certainty of our heavenly dwelling, to empower our walk, to enable us to continue being faithful in all that God has called us to do, both individually and corporately as a church. We are reminded in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 15 that Christ died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. My challenge to myself and to all of us is that we hold on to that eternal perspective, a hope that empowers our walk. Some words that we're going to be singing in just a few moments as I draw our time to a close. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word to our hearts this morning. And we thank you, Lord, for these encouragements from this passage before us. And Lord, we know that we are living in uncertain times. Every day we face uncertainty, both near and far. But Lord, again, we thank you for that hope of eternal life. For those of us who know and love you, Lord, that we have that hope of eternal dwelling. That one day, Lord, that we will be with you into all eternity. And I pray, Lord, that as we continue to keep our focus on that eternal dwelling, Lord, we pray that this truth, that this promise might empower our step, that it might empower our walk. Lord, in all that we seek to do, both individually and corporately, Lord, that we might be faithful to all that you are calling us to do. That no matter what uncertainties may surround us, we pray that we might continue to be faithful, holding on to that hope of eternal life. That one day we will be with you into all eternity. And I do pray particularly for any amongst us this morning, Lord, who are facing big uncertainties, maybe not quite sure which way to turn. I pray that they might be encouraged from these words this morning, Lord, that they might have that focus of that eternal dwelling. And Lord, for any here, Lord, this morning that might not know you or might not know what it means to have a relationship with you and to have that hope of eternal life, I pray that for each one that they might be encouraged to keep on exploring, to keep on asking questions, to keep on searching, Lord, that they might come to know you, Lord Jesus, and the hope that you bring. Lord, we thank you for your word to our hearts this morning, and we pray, Lord, that in these times, in these days, in all the uncertainties that surround us, help us to keep our focus on you, to be faithful in all that you are calling us to do, that we might live for your praise and for your glory. Through your power we pray. And again, I just want to thank you for all of my brothers and sisters here at Southcote Family Church, Lord. I thank you for their faithfulness, Lord, for the way that they are serving you in so many ways, both within this church and this community and around the world. And I pray, Lord, that they might continue to be encouraged in all that you are calling them to do. Lord, that they might keep their focus on you. I just want to thank you for them, Lord, and pray your blessing upon them, that together we might continue to walk and to follow you. For your praise and glory we pray, in Jesus' name, amen.